All right. Echo what Paul said earlier. Good morning, church. Good to be here. Thank you, Ben. Anyway, praise the Lord this morning. You know what? One other thing, too, I know Tinkin mentioned here a little bit ago. We did that funeral Thursday. And I say this. She said in one of her posts, I believe I said this last week, well, her husband said this about a couple weeks before she passed. She said she would have a story to tell, and he's talking about his wife, Katrina. And that's what I tried to do Thursday. She has a story to tell, and I told it. Her faith grew so much in 4 years of battling cancer and all the stuff that she had to go. Matter of fact, she has had health issues since she was a teenager. And she has battled and battled and battled down through all those years. But you know, she always stood up for her faith in her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, that unwavering. And one of the last posts she put out there, she had a T-shirt. It was my favorite scripture from over in Daniel. But if not, you know, you're still God. There's no faith like that this morning. I want you to understand that. If not, I don't know what you're battling. I don't know what you have to go through. You know, if it doesn't turn out the way you want it to, if not, God is still God. He's still on the throne. And you know, sometimes that's a hard thing to comprehend. But God is still God. Amen. This morning I'm going to be over in 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter, if you want to turn over there. 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter, I'm going to begin with the 19th verse. I'm going to read down the rest of the chapter. If you would, if you don't care, let's please stand whenever you get there, and let's read it in honor of God's word. 1 Samuel, chapter 13, beginning with verse 19. All right, now, there was no smith. Now, this doesn't mean Joe and Debbie Smith or whoever. This means blacksmith. I hope you understand that. But there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords and spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share, his cutler, his axe, and his mattock. That they had a file for the mattocks and for the cutlers and for the flocks and for the forks and for the axes to sharpen the gourds. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan his son was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passes of Mishmash. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I want to come and give you thanks this morning, Lord, for Father, you truly are deserving of all the thanks and all the blessings, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace, Lord. I pray, Father, that the message as it goes out this morning, Lord, to Father, that, Lord, that it would be what you would need it to be this morning and that it would go and reach the hearts that it needs to reach this morning. Father, we want to praise you, and we want to give you the glory for it all. And we ask for the anointing, and we ask for all, Lord, that is here, Lord, in need of anything. Father, the Father that you supply that need according to your riches and glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated, and thank you this morning. Thank you. As it was common, if you read that back in the Bible, the Philistines and the Israel were enemies, and they were constantly in battle. Now, Just for a little side note here, and I taught about this a couple weeks ago, but I want to tell you maybe that weren't there. Whenever you see what's going on over in Israel today, whenever you see Palestine over there and you see the Palestine Liberation Organization, this is not the Philistines of the Bible. You do understand that. Whenever they're talking about this stuff, that is not those people that you're talking about right here in the Bible. The Philistines in the Bible were Greek-speaking people. I didn't know whether you understood that or not. They were Greek-speaking people. The people that are over there now are Arab-speaking people. Totally different. This is why there's so much confusion that shouldn't be amongst us. But they're over there trying to say, well, Israel needs to give this up and Israel, because that's not their land. It's totally false. It's a lie of the devil.
I'm just getting into that just a little bit. I'm not going down that path this morning. But they were constantly in battle. And it said in the scriptures this morning is telling us about one of those battles. That's what it's trying to do. First off, look at the tactic. If you want to, the title of my sermon this morning is No Blacksmiths. No blacksmiths. I want you to understand. It's good. But look at their tactic. Instead of them fully going after and fully attacking Israel, what they would do, the Philistines were cunning about how that they were doing it. What they did was, if you look at the scripture, you see the Philistines had gotten rid of all the blacksmiths in Israel. If you see that down through the what it said, they'd gotten rid of every one of them. It doesn't say how they done it. But what it says is maybe they offered them better jobs. Maybe they killed them. Maybe this, maybe that. But it doesn't say how they got rid of them. But if you read the scripture, there was no blacksmith found in Israel is what it tells us. So when the Philistines got rid of all the blacksmiths, they got rid of every way that they could make weapons. They could not make swords. They could not make spears. They could not make armor. They could not make shields. They could not make helmets. They could not make any of that stuff. So they had gotten rid of every one of them. You see, the enemy doesn't come at us at full frontal assault sometimes. You do understand that, you know what? That sometimes they just chip away at us. Sometimes they do stuff on the perimeter. Sometimes they do stuff here to try to get to us. And it says this, that thenceforth there are no more children, we need to be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning. Listen to cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There, you know what? The enemy is just like the Philistines did. There was no blacksmith. The enemy likes to sometimes come after us, come after it with cunningness and craftiness, trying to deceive us. The Philistines knew that to defeat their enemy, the Israelites, what they had to do was make sure that they could not have weapons. Can I tell you something? You know what? The Bible talks about us having weapons, does it not? It does. We'll get to that here in a little bit. The Philistines knew the strategy was to disarm the enemy. They knew that. Even today, the enemy is trying to disarm you, whether you know it or not. He's trying to disarm you. Have you ever felt like you were fighting a battle in this Christian walk and you didn't have anything to fight with, it seemed like sometimes? Did you ever walk down? What do I do when it seems like you have nothing to fight with? The odds are overwhelmingly stacked against you. The doctor comes in and he tells you, he gives you a bad diagnosis. Your financial situation is terrible. Your marriage is going down the tubes. And you're thinking, you know, what am I going to do? I have nothing to fight with. Nothing. When it feels like the enemy is taking everything away. Listen to me. Can I have a witness this morning? Have you ever been there this morning? We've been there. And how in the world can I face the enemy, the spiritual Philistine that's in my life from time to time? Well, I'll tell you, you do just exactly what the Word of God tells you to do. You know what? David said this when he faced a Philistine. What did he say? He said, then said David unto the Philistine, he said, thou comest to me with a sword, the enemy could have come, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. When the battle seems like you have nothing to fight with this morning, can I tell you, when you've done all that you can do, Alita, you know this, you just stand. You just stand and let God handle the situation. You let Him do it. You know, praise God this morning. There's times that when I've seemed like I've been helpless in my life. I could do nothing. That's when God works at His best. And that's when He will work at the best in your life. It's whenever you're down to the last. You seem like there's nothing. Christians, we have weapons. We can go on the offense. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, It says this about our weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not AR-14s. They're not rifles. They're not pistols. They're not tanks. They're not missiles. But you know what? Our weapons are powerful. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Of strongholds. That's our weapons. And we know in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us to put on the whole armor of God, does it not? It says so that we would be able to stand against the enemy's onslaught. To put on the whole armor. It tells us about some of the defensive weapons, defensive stuff that we need to put on, right? Gird our loins up, it says, with truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet covered with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. Christians, every one of us, that's defensive stuff that God has given us, covered us from head to toe. And guess what? That's the blacksmith's responsibility to make all that stuff out here in the world. Also in Ephesians 6, though, it tells us two offensive weapons. Now, some people think there's just one, but I believe there's two here. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? It is the Word. But look at the next verse. Praying. Always. Praying. Always. God gives us two offensive weapons, I believe. He gives us the Word. And brothers and sisters, He gives us a prayer closet. And can I tell you something this morning? Christians are failing a lot in both of them. Amen? They were failing a lot in both of them. And then we wonder why sometimes. You know what? We look around sometimes and say, well, Lord, what's going on in my life? Listen to me. If you're not in God's Word and you're not in the prayer closet, the enemy can take an attack. Amen. And he will attack. And he will try to come after you. Listen to me, brothers. Listen. It said, a little sidebar. No weapon that God will give you is any good unless you use it. Amen? You know what? If you got a pistol at your house for defense in case somebody breaks into your house, it ain't going to do you a bit of good if you leave it in the drawer when somebody breaks into the house. Amen? It ain't going to do you no good to leave the Word of God, lay around and not read it. It ain't going to do you no good not to get into your prayer closet and get on your knees and say, God, you know what? This is coming upon me. The devil's coming. The enemy's coming against me. Ain't going to do you no good if you don't use it. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and it is powerful and sharper. I know you've heard this scripture before. Than any two-edged sword. It said piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It said, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It says the Word of God is quick and it is powerful. And can I have an amen to that this morning? Because it is. James 5:16 says this about prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Use these weapons. Use them. Our weapons are the Word of God and our prayers and our prayer closets. And the devil is aware of these weapons. And can I tell you something this morning? And he's making use of strategies to try to make you not get into either one of them. How many of us down through the week, and I'll be the first to admit this. Man alive, the devil keeps me so busy sometimes, I don't have time to read sometimes the way that I should. How about you? How about you when you go to prayer at night? Maybe you start praying. You're laying there, you start praying. Maybe you fall asleep. Or when you're reading the Word of God, you fall asleep. You know why? Because the devil doesn't want you getting anything out of either one of them. Amen. He doesn't want you to get anything out of them. Folks, the blacksmith, and it says here, our weapons are the Word and a prayer. Listen, the Philistines are making sure that the land of Israel had no blacksmiths. So, folks, the blacksmiths are being taken from the land today. You know that, don't you? How's that? They're the ones who preach. They're the ones who teach. They're the ones who testify about the word and about the fear and about the favor of God. In Romans 10, 14, and 14, chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they do that? There's a lot of people. Do you agree with me? There were probably some people walked around here last night that probably did not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Maybe. I'm sure there probably was. And how shall they believe of him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. This is sad. A recent survey showed that 30 to 40% of the ministers that go into the ministry, Dalton, don't last 5 years. That's almost half of them. 30 to 40% don't last 5 years, and they drop out. The blacksmiths are being taken out of the land. You understand that? How many times do we hear of ministers falling? How many times? Recently, Tony Evans and Robert Morris and Steve Lawson, just to name a few. Just to name a few. And we know this is nothing new. From years ago, we know that. The point is that blacksmiths are being taken out by the enemy. They're being taken out. And listen, and on top of that, some of the blacksmiths are not preaching the Word of God the way that it should be preached. They're not. Listen, they're compromising. They're preaching false doctrines. Paul warns about all this all throughout his writing. He says in 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. What's it say? Giving heed to seducing spirits. And what? Doctrines of devils. That's not me. That's the Word of God telling us. Listen, the blacksmiths are being taken. And for Galatians 1:8, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you other than that which we have preached unto you, let them be accursed. 2 Corinthians 11:4, for he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. What he's trying to say there, you're not supposed to just embrace it. He said, you're supposed to make sure that you don't have anything to do with it, what that's meaning. Absolutely. And the enemy sets back, and Patty, all this stuff's going on, and you know what he does? He sets back and he laughs. He's laughing at the churches. He's laughing because you know why? The blacksmiths are being taken out of the land. They're not able to make, they're not preaching to make the armor, put on the armor. They're not preaching to let you know that the word and the prayer are your weapons. They're not preaching that. They're preaching prosperity gospel. They're preaching other things besides what he once preached. If no one rightly teaches the word of God, if no one does it, I'm here to tell you this morning, you know what? The people will fail. Amen. On the other side of the corner, look at verse 22. And it came to pass in the day of battle, there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people. It was found in any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and Jonathan, his son, there was found. Folks, let me tell you a little secret. The battle can't be left up to the preacher, to the teachers, to the very few. Can I have an amen? The battle can't be just left up to just the few. Saul and Jonathan were the only ones who had weapons. God's word and power were for everyone, not just for the few that are here this morning. Listen, God supplies the weapon. He's looking for the folks who are willing to use them. Amen. He's looking for that. And that means coming together in one accord, in one mind. We all have weapons. I told you, God has supplied the weapons to every Christian. But he wants us to use them. Remember, Saul and Jonathan are the only ones with the weapons. Now look at 1 Samuel, the next chapter over, 14:6-7. If you turn right over just to the next chapter, look at verses 6 and 7 in 14th chapter, 1 Samuel. And Jonathan said to the young man that bore his armor, "Come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised, and it may be that the Lord will work for us. And there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." And his armor, now listen to what his armor bearer said. Now listen to this, is amazing. And his armor bearer didn't have anything that said to hold his shield and stuff. But listen to what he said. An armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in thine heart, and turn thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." If you're going out to battle, I want to tell you something this morning, Dalton. I'm going with you. Belinda, I'm going with you. And I hope you're going with me. I hope and pray that we go out to battle. We go out to battle as a church. We go out to battle as husband and wife. We go out to battle as son and daughter. And we go out to battle as everybody in this church goes out to battle. Listen, I hope and pray that you're just like that armor bearer. I pray that where your heart is and you're in a battle this morning, I pray that I go with you this morning. And I pray that you go with me as well. Praise his name this morning. Folks, we have weapons, and sometimes we're not willing to fight. This is not part of the sermon, so it's free. Can I tell you this morning? For notice how the world is willing to fight for what they believe in. But sometimes we'll sub back. We'll sub back. And you know what? Well, that's okay. That's okay. Just let. No. I hope and pray that you're just like the armor bearer this morning. I hope and pray that you are willing to go out and fight wherever the heart of God wants us to go fight. Amen. I hope and pray for that this morning. Listen, they will fight tooth and nail for what they believe in, but sometimes Christians are not for the things we should be passionate about. Psalms 133:1 says this. Put this on your refrigerator. "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity." Can I have an amen? Amen. It says in Philippians 2:2, "Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind." This is true for the home. It should be true for work. And especially it should be true at the church. Can I have an amen? One accord and one mind. Every kingdom, Jesus said this, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against itself, what's it going to do? Say it with me. Fall. It will fall. Those who are Holy Spirit filled will make use of the Bible. You cannot be led by the Spirit of God and yet disregard and contradict what the Scripture says. Nobody here can be. Nobody here can be. Now, I'm not political, but I always say this about this time of year whenever it comes election time. When you vote with the Bible. You vote with the Bible in mind. Don't go with what you think. You vote with what the Bible says. Amen. If only a few people are left holding the infallible Word of God, pray, you know what? That means that many will be ignorant of the devil's devices. I hope and pray that you don't just come here just to get the Word of God. I mean, thank the Lord for everybody that's here this morning, but I hope and pray that you just don't come here to get the Word of God. I tell this story a lot. A preacher one time stood up in his church, and I say, we've all heard this before. And he told him to turn to Mark chapter 15. He said, "What I'm going to do, I'm going to preach from Mark chapter 15, whatever it was, verse 16 next week." And he told him, "This guy, everybody study it, and that's what I'm going to preach on next week." Dalton, he come in the next week, and he stood up, and he asked him, "How many of you read it?" He said, "Three quarters of the church raised their hand and said they read it." He said, well, that's great. He said, there is no Mark 15, 16. See, I hope and pray you're not just coming to hear the Word of God. What if, and I do my best. I tell this all the time. I really pray and do my best not to lead anybody astray. But what if I say something that's not right? I expect to be called out by my congregation about it. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I'm saying, brothers and sisters. Dig into God's Word yourself. Dig into it. Listen, people are left with church doctrine and men's tradition if you don't read the Word of God. There are people that are studying, this breaks my heart, that are studying in churches all across the world today that are more into church doctrine and church traditions than they are into the true Word of God. And that's sad. That's really sad. Satan will attack. He will attack. When it was wartime, Israel didn't have any weapons. And as we already are already in a spiritual war, some professing Christians do not have the Word of God, and yet they expect to overcome the devil. Jesus used the Word of God to overcome temptation. Whenever he was being tempted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40, he used the Word. If you don't know the Word this morning, temptation comes. How are you going to overcome it? Well, I'll just depend on mom. Nope. You need it for yourself. You need it for yourself. We have to have the Word of God to get it. They're let down on prayer, yet they expect to overcome the devil. If you're not reading and you're not getting into your prayer closet, man, well, that's going to make for a rough day, isn't it, leader? And go a week like that? Man, love, I don't want that. I hope you don't want that either. Listen, and all the Israel, this goes along with my next point, but all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his cutler and his axe and his mattocks, and yet they had a file for the mattocks and the cutlers and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the gourd. Listen, because of the lack of blacksmiths in Israel, they had to go to the enemy to get their tools sharpened. But you know what that word file means? It doesn't mean like we think of a file. It means a price. They had a price. Oh, yeah. You could go to the enemy, and you could go, and you could try to get your life fulfilled. But you know what the Bible, you know what I've heard the old saying says? Sin will take you farther than you want to go, cost you more than you ever wanted to pay, and keep you longer than you never intended to stay. That's what sin will do for you. I'm here to tell you, they had let the enemy chip away for so long, all the blacksmiths were out of there, and now, because of that, they had to go to the enemy to try to get their tools sharpened. God's people are going to have their tools sharpened by the enemy. The devil makes sure that you won't have anyone who can teach you the Word of God correctly. You know what? He'll make sure of that. He'll make sure of that this morning. He's okay with you learning false doctrines. He's okay with you. Listen, if you go out on social media and on the internet today, you can learn and get, and you can have whatever you want out there. You can be taught whatever way makes you happy out there. Right? You can be taught anything. You can learn anything. You can be taught, and I'm telling you, I know, you go out there and they'll try to confuse you in so many different ways. That's why we need to get into the Word of God. The Philistines were comfortable in sharpening their plowsheds and their mattocks. They didn't want to have anything to do with their weapons, though. They didn't want them to have a weapon one. They didn't want them empowered. Can I tell you something this morning? God wants you empowered this morning. He wants you empowered. What do you mean by that, Dave? I'll tell you what I mean by that. There is power in prayer. Can I have an amen? There's power in reading the Word of God. There is power in serving the living God. there is power in serving Him. And listen to me this morning. That power should be flowing through you this morning. The Holy Spirit of God should be in each and every believer here this morning to lead, guide, direct, and empower us. Absolutely. He wants it. The devil doesn't want you empowered. The devil doesn't want that for you. Satan is not against you getting all the world that you can get. He's not against you getting some of the word. Do you know the devil attends church more than a lot of people? Do you know the devil knows the word of God more than a lot of people know it? He knows how to manipulate it. He knows every bit of it. As long as he's in charge of the blacksmith, as long as the enemy's in charge of sharpening the tools, the devil's happy. He's very happy. But he doesn't want to give you the word of God because it is the word of God. Listen, that people will know the truth, and the truth will do what? It will set you free. It'll set you free. Now also notice in verse 21, I'm going to back up a little bit. Yet they had a file for the mattock, and cutlers for the forks, and the axes to sharpen them. And listen, brothers, there was a price. There was a price, as I said. Sin will take you that way. It'll lead you down those paths. Can I ask you this morning? I don't know where you're at this morning in your heart, and I say this a good bit because I don't. I know one person in this room, and that's me. I know where my heart's at. And you can say that about yourself. You could be sitting back there this morning. You could be saying, I wish he'd shut up. I need to go to lunch. You could be sitting back there today saying, it's just a bunch of nonsense. You could be sitting back here today, I just don't know whether I believe that or not, Dave. Can I tell you something this morning? Listen, come to this altar. Get to know Jesus as your personal Savior. Let Him guide you. Let Him direct you. I said it earlier. You don't have to trust me all the time, but you know what? I know one I can trust. And He guides and directs my path. And He will yours. He's no respecter of person. You know, you see people in here testifying. You say, man, I don't know if I could ever testify like that. Well, your testimony may not be just exactly like theirs, but it may be what's needed in here. They come and get a song this morning, Belinda, please. There was no blacksmiths, none, in Israel at that time. Folks, time's going to come. The time's going to come in this country when it's going to get harder and harder to hear the word of God, the true word of God. It's going to come. I mean, I'm not just up here saying it out of the top of my head. The Bible says that it will wax worse and worse. If it's telling me in the last days people are going to be deceived because of doctrines of death, it's going to happen. What we got to do is make sure that, you know what? We're in the word of God for ourselves, that we're praying for ourselves. Anybody have a need this morning, please come.